Today's Old Testament reading is Jeremiah 2, 4 through 13, which can be found on page 685 through 686 in your chair Bibles. Hear the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel. Thus says the Lord, what wrong did your ancestors find in me, that they went so far from me, and went after worthless things and became worthless themselves? They did not say, where is the Lord who brought us up from the land of Egypt, who led us in the wilderness, in the land of deserts and pits, in a land of drought and deep darkness, in a land that no one passes through, where no one lives? I brought you into a plentiful land to eat its fruits and its good things. But when you entered, you defiled my land and made my heritage an abomination. The priests did not say, where is the Lord? Those who handle the law did not know me. The rulers transgressed against me. The prophets prophesied by Baal and went after things that do not profit. Therefore, once more I accuse you, said the Lord, and I accuse your children's children. Cross the coasts of Cyprus and look. Send to Kedar and examine with care. See if there has ever been such a thing. Has a nation changed its gods, even though they are no gods? But my people have changed their glory for something that does not profit. Be appalled at heaven, O heavens, at this. Be shocked. Be utterly desolate, said the Lord. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and dug out cisterns for themselves, cracked cisterns that can hold no water. Is Israel a slave? Is he a home-born servant? Why then has he become plunder? The word of the Lord.
Our gospel reading will come from the Gospel of Luke, and we will be reading from the 14th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. We will read verse 1, and then we will skip down to verse 7 and read verse 7 through verse 14. And it is found on page 953 of your Pew Bibles. So this time let us listen to God's word for us. On one occasion, when Jesus was going to the house of a leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, they were watching him closely. When he noticed how the guests chose the places of honor, he told them a parable. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor, in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host. And the host who invited both of you may come and say to you, give this person your place. And then in disgrace, you would start to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down at the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, friend, move up higher. Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. He said also to the one who had invited him, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, in case they may invite you in return and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. It's the word of the Lord. I love banquets. I love eating, period, but I especially love banquets. Something about getting dressed up and showing up to honor someone or to honor some occasion has always appealed to me. When I came to Philadelphia to serve my first church 15 years ago, I came right in the middle of their 100th anniversary year. And as part of the festivities and the celebrations, they had a banquet held in some fancy ballroom in West Philadelphia. And because I was the pastor, the relatively new pastor, I was given one of the places of honor at the head of the table. along with the executive presbyter and various local dignitaries. We pastors are often given places of honor, and that's one of the reasons I like banquets. One of the reasons I love banquets. Jesus seems to have liked banquets too. Jesus was always showing up at somebody's party. He never seemed to pass up an invitation to eat and to drink with people. In fact, that's one of the things that got Jesus in trouble. He was always eating and drinking with the wrong kinds of people. Jesus had absolutely no shame who it was he ate with, who he broke bread with. He liked banquets and parties. And that is because for Jesus, the table was a wonderful opportunity to teach people about the kingdom of God. It was a wonderful opportunity to teach people about the way things will be when God finally has God's way with the world. When things are done here on earth, just as they are done in heaven. In the ancient world, you didn't sit down at table with just anyone. The table was a microcosm of the larger society. It reflected the values of the larger society. And so who you ate with and how you ate said a great deal about who you were. So people tended to invite to dinner were people who could confer some advantage on them. People of status, people of honor, people who had reputations. It might be the local magistrate, it might be an up-and-coming business person, it might be a preacher that you would invite to the banquet, and preachers like banquets. And so these were the people that were often invited, and the hopes was when you invited someone that they would reciprocate your actions, they would invite you over for dinner and thereby cement your own reputation as a person of honor and status and reputation. And so that's the way it worked. You honored someone by inviting them, and then they turned around and they honored you by inviting them over for dinner, and your reputation as a person of decency and honor and status were cemented. But in our text this morning, someone has invited Jesus to a banquet, a wedding banquet. And the text tells us that they're all watching Jesus. They're watching him. They don't know quite what to think about him. He doesn't have the most stellar reputation. It's not just the kind of people that Jesus hung around with. You know, Jesus hung around with all kinds of people, tax collectors, publicans, prostitutes. He hung around with some very unsavory people. But it's not just the fact that Jesus hung around with the wrong kind of people, but Jesus was a lawbreaker. Jesus had broke the law. As we said last week, he broke the Sabbath law. He was constantly breaking Sabbath and doing things on the Sabbath that you weren't supposed to do, one of the Ten Commandments. And so they're watching him. They're watching him and probably saying to themselves, who let this person in? Who let this riffraff into the banquet? But as they're watching Jesus, he is also watching them. And he sees. He sees the way they are jockeying for positions at the head table. And he also sees who's not there, who hasn't been invited to the party. All the kinds of people that would be considered unsavory. People who would bring not honor on their hosts, but shame. And so Jesus tells them that from the perspective of heaven, the best seats in the house are the low seats, the ones furthest from the head table. And from the perspective of heaven, the preferential guests are the ones who are not there, the ones who are not invited. And so Jesus tells them that when you have a banquet, when you throw a party, make sure that you invite all the wrong kinds of people. Don't just invite people who can pay you back. Don't just invite people who can do something for you, but invite the poor, invite the crippled, invite the lame, invite the blind. Jesus doesn't say sinners, but he might as well have said that, because that's what most people would have been thinking. You were poor and blind and crippled because you had sinned. But Jesus says, these are the people who you are to invite to dinner, because that's the way that the kingdom of God is. The kingdom of God is a place where all the wrong kinds of people are invited. I doubt that the message went over well with the people gathered at that banquet, many of them religious leaders, Pharisees and the like. And it's not a message that goes over well today, not even in some of our churches. One of the things that I like about Albany Presbyterian Church is we're a church that welcomes everyone. We have such a welcoming spirit here. But there are some churches that only invite certain people. They don't say that, of course, out loud, but there's 1,001 ways you can say something without actually saying it. There are some churches that only welcome people who can do something for them, people who can enhance their status or their reputation or make regular contributions to the church budget. I like those kinds of people too, but I also love banquets. And Jesus says, when you have a banquet, make sure that you invite everyone. Make sure everyone is invited, especially those who can't do anything for you, because again, that is what the kingdom of God is like. In this passage, Jesus is calling us to a way of life that is highly countercultural. It's highly countercultural in his day, and it's highly countercultural in our day as well. He is calling us to a way of life that encompasses what I call the two H's. The two H words of Christian living. The first word is humility. Jesus is calling us all to a deep humility. And humility is about knowing our place. It's about knowing your place. In the ancient world, one of the worst things that can happen to you socially was being put in your place. Maybe you presumed that you were up here somewhere, your social position was up here. And someone came along and said, no, you're actually down here. Stay in your place. It was a great social embarrassment in a culture of honor and shame. But we Christians are also called to remember our place. We are called to remember that we have all fallen short of the glory of God. I'm told that Roman military commanders, receiving the adulation of crowds after military victory, would often have someone whispering in their ears, remember that you are only mortal. Remember that you too will one day die. And it helped to keep them humble. Sometimes I think we Christians need something like that as well. We can be so filled with self-righteousness and pride that we too often need someone whispering in our ears, remember you are mortal. Remember that you too have sinned. Remember you too have fallen short of the glory of God. But humility is not just about beating up on ourselves, but it's also about our remembering our place in God. It's about remembering that our sense of dignity and worth do not come from other people. It does not come from our accomplishments. It does not come from our educations. It does not come from our nationality. It does not come from our professions and our jobs. It does not come from how many gold medals we're able to win. But we're reminded that our sense of dignity and worth come from God. It comes from knowing that we are loved by God. And because of that, we don't have to jockey for positions of prestige and honor. We are free. We are free to take the low seats, the seats of service and love, which in the kingdom of God are the high seats, the seats of real honor. And we're reminded that all who exalt themselves will be humbled. And all who humble themselves will be exalted. And that leads me to the other H word, which is hospitality. Jesus is calling all of us to a life of radical hospitality. A life whereby we extend ourselves in service and love, not just to our neighbors, not just to our brothers and sisters, not just to our relatives, not just to those who can pay us back. But we extend ourselves to people who we are not quite sure about, people that we have questions about, people that we're not quite sure we want to be around, people that we're not quite sure we want to invite into our domiciles or even our churches, the homeless, the poor, the stranger, the immigrant, the sick, the sinner. We're not quite sure about these people, and so we keep our distance, fearful that they might bring some dishonor or shame upon us. But Jesus says, when you throw a party, when you have a banquet, when you throw a dinner, you know who to invite. Invite all the wrong kinds of people. Whenever I think about hospitality, I think of the Open Door community in Atlanta. The Open Door community was a community that served the homeless, and I had an opportunity to be a part of that when I was in seminary, as I told you before. Every Sunday night, the community would gather for a meal, and everyone was invited. College students, seminary professors, people from various professional walks of life. But the most honored guest were the homeless, people who found themselves in difficult straits without a home, many of them ex-offenders, many of them people dealing with their psychological issues, some of them people who just had things fall through so that they found themselves without a home. But they were the people who were the most exalted guest. And it reminded me of what the kingdom of God would be like. People all together, praising God, breaking bread, sharing a meal. Because that's what Jesus said. When you throw a party, when you have a banquet, invite everyone, especially those who cannot pay you back. I'm told by good authority, a Gallup poll actually, that 77% of adult Americans profess to be Christian. I think that's a respectable number, maybe not the high number it was many, many years ago, but 77% is a respectable number of adults profess to be Christian. And we might ask ourselves, in this summer, when we have a lot of things going on in our country, we might ask ourselves, given that high number, what would happen? What might happen if just us Christians, not talking about the rest of our fellow Americans, but if just us Christians took Jesus' words seriously? What if we took serious what Jesus told us about a life of humility and radical hospitality? How would that change us as a nation? How would that change us as a country? How would it change our priorities, the things that we as a country say is important? How would that change the kind of people that we listen to and place on a pedestal? How would it change the people that we nominate for high office? How would it change our national discourse, the way we talk to one another, if we took this word about humility and about radical hospitality seriously? As I told you before, a couple of weeks ago, I listened to both the Republican and Democratic conventions, and it was hard to hear any word about the poor. In fact, I didn't hear any word about the poor at all. There's a great deal of talk about the middle class, a great deal of talk about tax cuts and things that benefit the middle class, but almost nothing about the poor. And yet Jesus says that if we're serious, if you throw a banquet, these are the kind of people that ought to be put at the top of the list, at the top of our priority. Perhaps the question that we should ask ourselves is, given the fact that 77% of adult Americans profess to be Christians, why is that not the case? Why are the poor and the marginalized given such a low priority in our society? Perhaps the prophet Jeremiah proffered the right answer to that question when he noted that even the people of God sometimes forget. Even the people of God sometimes chase after things that do not satisfy. We chase after things that do not give life. We chase after things that are worthless. We chase after prestige. We chase after status. We chase after social position. But it's all worthless. And as Jeremiah reminded us, we often become what it is we love. We often become what it is we worship. We become what it is we chase. And so we too become worthless from the perspective of heaven. Our lives become worthless. But if we want life, we want to really begin to live life and have life in abundance, then we need to follow in the way of the Lord, the way of humility, the way of self-giving, the way of radical hospitality. Jesus didn't just preach about those things. He didn't just preach about humility. He didn't just preach about hospitality, but Jesus lived it out. He was the one who broke bread and welcomed everyone. Jesus was the one who was truly humble. Even though he was equal with God, as we are told in the book of Philippians, he humbled himself. Humbled himself, became like a servant, emptied himself on the cross so that you and I and all of us could be invited to the great heavenly banquet. Because of his sacrifice, we have been invited to that great heavenly banquet. That great banquet when we all will get to participate in God's great feast. We are invited to that banquet not because we can do anything to repay God. We can't pay God back. We can't do anything for God. There's absolutely nothing that we can do. We are invited to that banquet because of God's grace and love for each and every one of us, because the God that we serve desires for us to be invited to his banquet. I plan to be there. I don't know where I'll be sitting. Don't know if I'll be at the head table. Don't know if I'll be way in the back, but it really doesn't matter. Once we know that we are loved by God, it really doesn't matter what seat we have. But I will be there because I love banquets. And I hope you love them too. Let us pray. Gracious God, you have reminded us again in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ of what you have called us to be, of who you have called us to be, that you have called us to be people who walk in the way of our Lord. You have called us to be people of humility and people of radical hospitality, extending ourselves to one another and extending ourselves to the neighbor that is often despised and marginalized in our world. We ask, Lord, that you empower us through your Holy Spirit. Help us to walk in your way. Help us to be the people that you have called us to be. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.